Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat!
We get beat!
Boom! Beat! Beat!
Boom! Beat!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you in on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, co-hosting Blackshirt Jay, a Wednesday, Thursday appearance this week. An appearance coming up from Michael Bruntz of 24/7 Sports. A little recruiting, a little Nebraska talk, maybe some donkey ball discussion as it's Monday night and Denver in action. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie in 1 hour. Whole lot of room for you if you want to get involved. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Well, it is here. Wisconsin week. Finally, you get to find out. Finally, you get to find out about your Nebraska Cornhuskers. And maybe you already know. Maybe you've watched the previous seven games and know what you need to know about Nebraska. And you're going to see and process and apply to your prediction. That's all good. That's all you can do. But it's Wisconsin week. It's time to touch gloves because you got the third of a season here. It's been a four-game season, right? Four games you care about. Got Oregon and kind of 1B Northwestern. Then you have Ohio State following Wisconsin. And then you got Iowa to wrap things up. They're wounded. Everybody's wounded. What the hell happened this weekend? The Cubs go to the World Series. Okay.
1945.
Right. The Cubs go to the World Series. We'll get to the phones here in a second. Penn State. That is beyond pulling a rabbit out of the hat.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer doesn't go into your place, punch you in the face, go up 14 in the fourth quarter, and lose. He doesn't lose to a 9-23 completing scrawny little quarterback. He didn't lose to some guy they pulled off the chuck wagon to coach special teams.
Yeah, that was a shocker.
Hey, yeah, this is James Franklin. You want to come coach special teams? Yeah, okay. You don't give up 10 points.
Mm-mm.
And then one drive with two giant big plays. We're talking a 38 and a 36-yarder. What has happened? As young as Ohio State shouldn't have lost that game in 100 years. They're young. They're not bulletproof. You know what? I know that. They proved that to me, unfortunately. Not that I'm an Ohio State guy here, but they don't lose that game.
And then you had that special Sunday night game last night. We'll call it special, I guess.
Yeah, somebody. Yeah, I once the dude hurdled the guy and blocked the field goal. I was like, there's no points in this one, so I'm going to bed. I cashed out at 9 last night.
Wow.
We had a few margaritas during the afternoon sessions.
Okay.
Did you fall asleep or did you pass out again?
Some sleeping pills, huh?
No, I didn't take any of those this time. But we're here. It's Wisconsin-Nebraska week. And we'll spend a couple of thoughts on applying what you saw in Purdue. And really the first half of this season that can give you hope into Saturday. Nate hates Wisconsin. Nate's been on hold for a little bit. Nate, it is your floor. Go ahead.
My friend, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm thanking God this week got here finally.
Yeah, man. You know what? In hindsight, while last week was kind of a snoozer, I feel like the year moved by really fast.
No,
you know,
you're right.
2016 was quick.
Oh, yeah. Quick. It's flying by, and now this is kind of your put up or shut up moment for Nebraska.
It is. So I'm going to do this on speed dial because we got a bunch here. So first, Cubs, enough said. Life's good. Love it. My favorite team. Suffering ends. I'm so happy. Don't even care if they win the World Series at this point. It'd be great.
Really?
But at the end
That's
of the
what
day,
you got to tell yourself.
Demons have been exorcised. There's no more Kevin Mitchell, Matt Williams, Lenny Dykstra, Andy Van Slyke. All that crap from my childhood is gone. Screw you, Barry Bonds and David Justice. All right, so Nebraska, we are the best, worst team I've ever seen. I am totally okay if we go out and sloppily beat Wisconsin or Ohio State, but the manner in which we are dealing with what is truly an inferior foe, that was a good high school team we beat. I actually called 28-14, but under the premise that we would be up 28-0 at the end of the first quarter and resting for Wisconsin. So right result, wrong destination path to get there. Absolutely shameful and disgusting in so many ways. Ohio State, Penn State, a lot of people out there, they're beatable now. Nebraska has a shot. No, we don't.
Now they're angry.
They can be angry because at the end of the day, if you watched even five plays of that game, what Penn State did to disrupt Ohio State, we don't have that pass rush. There were three Nittany Lions in the backfield every freaking play. Run or pass, didn't matter. We don't have that pass rush. It's okay. We have the best secondary in the country, maybe. Second, this last thing of the game last night, don't you remember when Alabama and LSU did 6-9 4 years ago and it was so much better than that? They were college kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. That game exemplified why college football is unequivocally better than the NFL by almost every metric except for money generated. At the end of the day, their idea of overtime is stupid. They should have just let it keep going because one of two things happened. Either great football breaks out and you have this big, massive NFL shootout we never get to see, or you get to watch them stay on the struggle bus for 30 hours like we did the Cubs and the Giants in Game 3 for 15 innings till 2 in the morning. It would have been awesome and humiliating. I'll let you guys do your thing. Always a good time. Nebraska will beat Wisconsin. Wisconsin is the most overrated, great team ever. They're terrible, terrible one-dimensional team. If Nebraska doesn't win this game by at least two touchdowns, I'm going to hang my head. They're injured now, too. We got to beat this team. They're not the boogeyman. They are not Texas. Have a good day. God bless.
All right, Nate. There we go. Two touchdowns, says Nate.
Wow.
Usually I feel bad about having a sip during Sunday afternoon because, Sunday's day for family. Mama was working. Carson was at practice. I caught up with Uncle Nate, and we had a couple. It was good. But I didn't start today for Saturday. And if Nate's right, God love him.
Yeah.
And let's get into that here, the put up or shut up part. And Tommy Armstrong has kind of those same feelings. That's my read on some of his comments. I mean, these guys are waiting for it, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they get bored. They know they've got to take it one game at a time. That's boring, I know, but it's true. Can't get too high or too low. Otherwise, you get upset in college football. So be boring and take it small bite by small bite. Nebraska's done that. Now it's a big bite with Wisconsin ahead. And when it comes to football that's not aesthetically pleasing, and that's a reputation the Big Ten has had for a long time. And we used to, quite frankly, in this part of the country, poke fun at it. Now it's something you hold on to and you just deal with because it is what it is. But, yeah, I mean, it gets real now. It gets real now. Make your case. Here's your argument. Go perform if you're Nebraska and it's put up or shut up time. The question is, what's Nebraska going to put up?
Yeah.
I don't know. And we'll get into it as the week goes further, how they'll do it. But I have some early thoughts. And to Nate's point, he's not super high on Wisconsin. There's some evidence out there, too, that they're not as dominant as they could be. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one's playing perfect football. First, a thought from Tommy Armstrong and what he thinks of this second half of the year. That's what he's kind of titled this, as his guys on offense are getting ready to go.
This is kind of like the second half of our season. It's going to be a tough game. We had a lot of critics about whether we really are good or not. So this is what we work for. This is one of the great teams in our conference, and a lot of people are saying this is kind of the determining factor of whether we're going to go to the Big Ten championship or not.
Yes, 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 and yes. Okay, you've had a lot of critics. You've had Wisconsin, as the road to Indy goes through Madison, it has. And it's a chance for Nebraska to kind of pull this off. It hasn't happened for, it feels like, an eternity. When Nebraska, with their underdog status, goes on the road and wins. They've had some wins the past few years. They've had some home wins the past few years. But this is the hump you need to get over. It's within the division. This is the hump you need to make go away. I don't know if you use sandpaper or surgery, but it needs to go away because this is what your fan base has been waiting for, and more importantly, this is what the players have been working for, to go take this opportunity and make the most of it. And TJ, psyche. Do you worry about the team's psyche going into this? I think the furthest thing from their mind right now is the avalanche, the embarrassment, because that's the place where it's started and it was born, has been against Wisconsin, and in specifically in Madison, that first Big Ten game ever. Russell Wilson wishing he would have had that type of offensive line blocking for him last night. But this is where you get over the hump, and I don't think it's too soon to ask Nebraska to do that if you're a Nebraska fan.
Yeah, obviously with the past history, you have to worry about the psyche a little bit, but for this year, I don't think so. I think the players in the state are just so excited for these next 2 weeks to find out about this football team against some legit competition. And actually, that Northwestern win, that's now looking pretty good. You just kind of wish we were a bit healthier, but it sounds like Wisconsin's just about as banged up as we are. So it definitely could be an interesting matchup, and I can't wait to see how it goes down in Madison.
Here are some thoughts that you take with you to Purdue. Now, as you ramp up, what have you seen from Nebraska post-Oregon? And I use Oregon as kind of the measuring stick game we talked about, and we know how things have turned out for Oregon. But you were tough enough on defense, and you've shrunk the number of big plays you've given up. Maybe 2 to 3, a handful of them. No one's just kind of drove it down your throat consistently. A team may do that once on you, but it's been pretty hard for Nebraska to allow points. I mean, that's one of the things when it comes to scoring defense. Nebraska has gone from, well, you know, they're better, but they're not great. Well, now the defense can look anybody they want in the eye and say, no, we're pretty for real, and you're going to have to earn it, and you may get a couple on us, but you're not going to make a living. I mean, defensively, for the Lord's sake, these guys, when it comes to scoring defense, they are 14th in the nation. Fourth is Wisconsin. So, unders alert for you on Saturday.
Yeah.
Nebraska, when push came to shove, Nebraska still ran the football. Okay, they ran it 12 times in the first half. They ended up running it a total of 37 times, so they still ran it 20. Danny Langsdorf did not abandon nor punt the run game. He stuck with it. Newbie got going a little bit. They popped a few, but it was still just murder trying to get any sort of good first down run. And that's what it's going to come down to Saturday, what they can do on first down. So does he get creative with 3 to 4 to 5 yards on first down with the quarterback run game? With the quick little hitch, or do they go misdirection? All those are great ideas if you can block.
Yeah.
And I got to know if there's some healthy guys on standby that want to go play some football on the offensive line. If it ain't happening at your tackle spots, if it ain't happening at center, if it's not happening, it's happening at your right or left guard. More so, I think Farmer's been fine. But if it's not happening, are you ready to go to the bullpen? And that's a big ask. It's a giant ask because you're plopping somebody in to a unit that needs to be in harmony, all five. But what has been going on isn't working, and I know it's because of injury. Wisconsin doesn't care. You need to have a contingency ready. Or it's going to be air time and you'll loosen it up and run the football. That's what is going to happen. If you can't run it, you're in 2nd and 11. In 2nd and 11, while Tommy's been great with that against Miami, name somebody else because he's done it so often where he's made big plays. And how did that happen? It was 3rd and 15 and they got 28. Thank you, Riley, Brandon Riley. You can do that. But you can do it in a smaller success rate against teams like Wisconsin because they are that good front to back. You can do it against Purdue.
Yeah.
I'm not knocking the guts and the plays it took for Nebraska to succeed, because that's what they had to turn to. We're going to go one-on-one with our best players and our best athletes, and that's how we're going to win the game, because we can't run it on you. And there was some quarterback run involved, but we can't run the football well enough to get anything done. So it's time to go to Air Tommy and let the players go play. Go find Stanley. They can do that, but I don't think you can rely on it against a team like Wisconsin. And you may end up having to ride it out and live that way to try and get the win. That may be how you go get offense on Saturday.
Yeah, you're really going to need to stay ahead of the chains against Wisconsin. You need to get like 4 or 5 yards on first down, because if you have the running lanes like you had against Purdue, where Langsdorf was like, what running lanes? There weren't any running lanes. Like, then there's going to be problems in Madison.
But, I mean, are you anticipating that? I am.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, again, if you apply from what you've watched, all right, they ran okay. They ran well, but turned the football over against Northwestern. They ran well, and everyone's kind of gotten in line to run for 3 bills, even our friend Mike Leach, against Oregon. This isn't disparaging them. I'm saying it was tough against Indiana. Purdue is they might as well be invisible based on their statistics up front, and you couldn't do it. A lot of it because of injury, I know. How do they win? How do they get any points Saturday?
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Welcome in with 24/7 Sports, Michael Brunts. At Michael Brunts on Twitter. Bruntsy, good weekend. How you doing?
Not bad, Schmitty. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm still perplexed that my Dolphins have put together a couple of weekends in a row offensively, and they've ran the ball. Now, sadly, that guy sat on my bench for fantasy, so what can you do?
It's the best of times and the worst of times, football-wise, right?
Well, it is, and you hit on it, because the best of times, the worst of times, you can kind of characterize Nebraska with some of their performances. They're 7-0, but there's been something missing second and third quarter. First and in fourth quarter, it's been great, but Nebraska and players themselves today at the presser said they're ready for a test like this, and I tell you what, it'll be good for Nebraska to see what they're made of against Wisconsin, and in turn, it'll be good to see what Wisconsin can do, because they're getting towards the end of that murderous schedule that they've been on, and they've looked great. Before we get into all of that, though, how about the weekend for Nebraska from a recruiting standpoint? Remind us who was on campus and some of the feedback you and Schaaf got.
Yeah, two official visitors this past weekend, a little bit more quieter weekend. It was you know, one of those weekends, I think, that, you know, Nebraska was thinking that Purdue might have been an 11 o'clock kick. You had the ACT test going on that day as well, so that always kind of limits some of the visiting options. But two guys from California, both committed elsewhere. Tariq Johnson, a four-star wide receiver out of L.A., currently committed to Cal. You know, a guy that when he committed to Cal back in the spring, chose them over Nebraska, and Keith Williams continued to recruit him. He came with his parents on the visit this weekend, obviously impressed. I think, you know, he's a guy that could be a potential flip down the road. You know, Nebraska is looking for a big body wide receiver. Johnson certainly fits that role. He's 6'4", 210 pounds, a big kid. And, you know, I think the visit kind of opened his eyes a little bit to, you know, what the possibilities are in Nebraska. And, you know, I think Nebraska already had a pretty strong relationship with him, but getting him in for the game really is going to help there. Definitely one to watch, I think. You know, the thing about Nebraska and their recruiting is that wide receiver position. They can really sell playing time and immediate playing time to some of these wide receivers that they're recruiting. I mean, you look at their depth chart at that position next year is going to be pretty thin. They're going to need guys to help out early. So that's definitely a selling point that they have right now. You know, the other official visitor, Greg Johnson, committed to Arizona, kind of a do-it-all athlete right now out of Augustus Hawkins High School in the L.A. area. Could play running back. He plays running back there. Could be a wide receiver. Could play safety. Could play corner. Definitely one of those guys that, you know, Nebraska has basically said to him, look, you come here, we'll let you kind of pick your position. You know, cornerback is pretty intriguing to him. I think Nebraska would be fine with him playing corner. But I think that one might be a little bit tougher to get a read on, just because he's a little bit quieter kid. The one thing that Nebraska does have going in its favor, he's high school teammates and really close friends with Joseph Lewis, who's a five-star wide receiver, has visited Nebraska before. And I think Nebraska's in a good spot for him too. So obviously there's a little bit of talking up Nebraska there. So even though it didn't result in immediate commits this time of year, they really don't anyways. But I think it was two solid official visits this weekend for Nebraska, and guys that Nebraska will continue to work on as the fall goes along and once they get into home visit season.
Couple of kids that are 2018 players, Cameron Brown and then Cameron Babb. They're both out of St. Louis. Kenny Wilhite territory. Thoughts on both of them?
Yeah, Brown picked up an offer this weekend. He's got a number of offers from schools in the area, Missouri, Illinois, those types of schools. Definitely an intriguing kid, big athletic kid, offered as a wide receiver. So another opportunity that, and just kind of shows that Nebraska is doing a nice job of kind of getting these kids on campus early. With Babb, he's a four-star player, going to be one of the top athletes in his class. He's already visited Nebraska twice now. So just continuing to kind of work ahead and get those kids on campus now and get them to experience that game day atmosphere is huge. You mentioned Kenny Wilhite. I think you kind of have to give him a lot of credit for the work that Nebraska is really doing in the St. Louis area right now. He's a native of the area. He knows it well. Has connections there that are really allowing Nebraska to evaluate kids early, make offers early, and start building those relationships. It really kind of started, I think, with Trey Bryant last year coming out of that area. And there's already been 5, 6, 7 kids in the 2018 and 2019 classes that Nebraska's gotten to see either at their own camps or gotten up for unofficial visits. So with Missouri really struggling right now, Illinois not really doing a whole lot, it feels like there's an opportunity for Nebraska to really kind of make some waves in the St. Louis area with those connections and just the fact that they're playing really good football right now.
Michael Bruntz, few minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio, 24/7 Sports, at Michael Bruntz on Twitter. Eno Benjamin, four-star back, talented player, Iowa commit no more. Now, I know Nebraska has not offered him, but tell me about Nebraska and where they stand from a running back standpoint, offers and needs for next season.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll probably just take one guy, one running back in this class, one that they're really working hard on, Stephen Carr out in the L.A. area. He's a top 100 running back. He's been committed to USC for a while, but, Nebraska's been trying to work and potentially get an official visit there. Beyond that, you've got other guys like Jabari Peacock, who was up here for a Friday Night Lights camp in the summer out of Florida. He's looking at Nebraska, Virginia, a couple other schools, Louisville. He'll probably be back for an official visit later this season. But, with only taking one guy, I think Nebraska's being pretty deliberate about how they're recruiting. You mentioned Benjamin doesn't have the offer yet. Nebraska is very much aware of him, however, so I'll be kind of curious to see what happens there. But if you just kind of look at social media, a number of Nebraska commits, Keyshawn Johnson Jr. being probably the biggest one, and really kind of forming a relationship already with Benjamin. So I guess it's going to kind of be on Nebraska right now as to whether they move forward with an offer, or kind of how they do that there. But it's really interesting, with Iowa's policy about their recruits and commits not taking other visits. That just doesn't really work nowadays when you're recruiting really higher recruited guys and higher rated guys. And I think that's kind of what you saw happen here, is that policy definitely came back to bit them a little bit there.
All right, Saturday in Madison, Bruntsy. It's been just a brutal stop for Nebraska. Really, the whole series/rivalry has been one-sided since the ugly uniform game back in 2012. And then at the end of the year, we don't need to rehash that in the Big Ten title game. Is this year going to be different for Nebraska? I'm not saying they go win. Will round two between Riley and Crist be similar to round one a year ago?
Yeah, it's been interesting kind of watching the line on this game change. I know the game's in Madison. I know that Wisconsin's playing good football. But yeah, I just have a hard time imagining that, you know, Nebraska's just going to go up there and get blown out. You know, that hasn't happened under a Mike Riley coach team at Nebraska. They've played pretty close games, you know, and I don't know that Wisconsin really has the firepower to just go in there and, you know, blow Nebraska's doors off. So I would imagine it's going to be pretty similar to last year, where you have a pretty close, hard-fought game that's going to be, you know, pretty much decided by turnovers or a big play on special teams or something like that. I mean, it's been kind of, you know, maybe a little bit of a head-scratcher to see the line continue to move the way it has. But, you know, Nebraska's going to be tested on both lines in a way that they probably haven't been this year. You've got the health issues of Nebraska's offensive line, but I really think it's going to be on, at least offensively for Nebraska, to kind of come up with a little bit of a creative game plan to get that running game established, to move the ball and then put some pressure on Wisconsin, who's battling their own injury issues on defense. So I don't see it, you know, being a double-digit win either way. I would be kind of surprised by that. I'm really kind of expecting a pretty close, hard-fought game, especially given the history and familiarity that, you know, Mike Riley and Paul Crist have with one another.
Brunsie, Monday Night Football, it's donkey time, and Denver trying to get back on that right side of the win column. An old friend, Mr. Osweiler, is under center lining up. He gets to come back to Denver, but just wearing a different lid. Are you nervous? You excited? Or do you think this thing will be all orange tonight?
I'm hoping it's all orange, but given the way that Denver has played in its last couple of games out, I'm not as confident as I would have been a couple of weeks ago. But you're right that Brock Osweiler will be returning to Denver a little bit richer than he would have been otherwise had he decided to stay in Denver. So we'll see. I would imagine that can we call him the Orange Crush defense? Can we call him that?
I have no qualm. I mean, when they were nicknamed that, I wasn't quite born yet, but I know what you're saying. So
yeah, I feel like they're going to be motivated in this game. So I'm hoping to be pleasantly surprised by the outcome. But as usual, we'll set the bar quite low.
Well, that's fine. You mentioned motivation, and I think real quick, I'm going to jump back to Nebraska. I think they're motivated. I think they're tired of hearing questions about how good they are. It's almost kind of like questioning their manhood, so to speak. Well, you're ranked high, but you don't earn it. You didn't listen. They've heard that for weeks now, and I think they're anxious to go out there. But they're also there's an even keel about them too, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's I think that's kind of been the way that this team has approached things all year. When you kind of look at the things that they've had to go through as a group, I mean, with the death of Sam Fultz, with Keith Williams' arrest, and those kinds of off-the-field stuff that they've had to kind of process and move forward beyond, I think, you know, that there's probably a little bit of focus and mental toughness that breeds. I think that probably helps you in a game like this to kind of block things out. And you know, I thought Dylan Utter, you know, when he was talking about 2 years ago up in Madison, said that, you know, things kind of got out of hand and they couldn't really, you know, get things turned around. And I think that that's one thing that this team has done fairly well this year, is even when, you know, they've given up a big play or they've, you know, not been able to move the ball offensively, I think they've been able to regroup pretty well and kind of get things going in the right direction. And I think that that's the type of thing that will really help Nebraska in a game like this.
Brunsie, be good. Get the pom-poms out.
Sounds good. I'm getting them out right now.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
We hate each other nowadays.
There we go, Riles. Fire up the rivalry week. Can I say it? Rivalry week, Wisconsin. Coming up, Charlie McBride. He coached at Wisconsin. The offensive line, for heading to Nebraska. So he knows Dim Badgers pretty well. Get his thoughts on Nebraska and Whiskey, the matchup. Not much more to spend, and we didn't spend hardly any time on the Purdue win. But I ask yourself this. Are you disgusted with the win, or are you just happy they won? Yeah, you're happy they won, but what's your weighing emotion? Man, they looked awful. That was a snooze fest. They had to go to their jump ball formula to win. That's maybe too strong. Listen, if you can make plays, the other guy's on scholarship too. I thought it was pretty remarkable. Nebraska just had enough faith, first of all, to let Tommy kind of get back there and throw it up. He threw some great passes, and his receivers, under the fear/direction of Coach Dubb, went and made plays. So Nebraska found a way to win, and you don't really need to say much more than that because they couldn't run it, and you're not going to run Tommy 35 times. But maybe they do Saturday. We shall see. What this game is on Saturday, to me, against Wisconsin, is which team offensively is the least one-dimensional. Whoever's the least one-dimensional is going to win this game Saturday. Because Wisconsin, we'll get into their warts here in a minute. Because Wisconsin's not end-all, be-all. There's another part of their football team, aside from their amazing defense. Andrew's been hanging on the line. Andrew, welcome into Hail Varsity. Go ahead. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. The only comment I kind of have is, basically, I feel like we are ahead of schedule on where we need to be. I mean, people got to keep in mind that Riley is still plugging depth holes left over from the previous coaching staff. I mean, they left a pretty bad roster holes everywhere. Depth still an issue in multiple positions. And I'm not saying, like, obviously I'm not comparing us to the national championship teams in the 90s, but people need to remember back in 94, the first national championship. Then in that season, if you remember the Kansas game, that game we won 21-20 or something, some score near that, which came down to Kansas going down for a two-point conversion.
Yeah, it was 93. It was 1993, the year they went to the national title game. Yeah. It was a two-point conversion. So Nebraska had a scare that year in 94, Andrew. They had multiple injuries. I think there are parts of this roster that need a lot of help. I think there are other parts of this roster that have talent there, and I think Nebraska's done a pretty good job of developing that talent, but there is talent on the offensive line, Andrew, and I'm waiting to see some of those options. They're young, but that's where my question is, because you're going to need somebody that can go execute Saturday night in Madison.
But my question is, if at the beginning of the year, if I told you going into Wisconsin, we're going to be 7-0, would anybody have not taken that?
No, you'll totally take it. But now you're worried about, okay, you've beaten seven teams. Kudos, honestly, for doing that. But now here comes the challenge. Can you? Everyone's greedy, right? You want more. Great, you're 7-0. Make it 8-0. Go beat this team that's kind of had your number since you moved into their neighborhood.
Well, yeah, they've had the previous coach's number. I mean, we're not going to be paying a too high safety against a running team anymore. I mean, that was just nonsense. And I don't understand why we never switched up from that. But, I mean, and honestly, what about Wisconsin really scares everybody?
Their defense.
I mean,
their defense, and Nebraska's offense. Ability or inability at times in big games to take care of the football, because that's where this thing will go sideways. Thanks for the call. Appreciate your time. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. He had a bunch of points, and he laid a lot of blame. Easy to do. But back to Nebraska and the offensive line. It's got to step up. It's obvious. Got to step up, and there is time to coach up. We'll see if there are additional options on the offensive line for Nebraska. If some of the, even a guy like Corey Whitaker, I mean, he's kind of spotting both guard spots right now, and he came in at center when Utter had the pinky issue. So if things aren't happening at the guard spots, and I'm talking left guard, and I like Sam, but between the center and the guard, they've had some real issues the last 3 weeks. It's blown things up. And at least Langsdorf is at least stuck with the run game. It hasn't turned into, let's chuck it. Nebraska has the ability to do that, though. They've won two games this year where they've had real struggles offensively in the run game. Go to Wyoming. What did Wyoming do? They ran blitzed all game, and Nebraska threw for three bills and won. Nebraska couldn't run the ball against Purdue. What happened? They went nuts and threw the football in the second half, did their job. On to Wisconsin, offensively and defensively. What scares you about Wisconsin? Andrew brought it up. Great point. Great question. And to me, it's the defense, because it's a new year. It's a different team. But you know what Nebraska's strength has been? Tommy with the run game, Tommy with the big play, throwing the football, and establishing the run game so it's not, you don't have to go in throwing it, okay? That's been the formula here. And obviously the turnover question, because turnovers are going to absolutely pothole anything you want to do. And then then this panic that hasn't existed when Nebraska's been down this year, maybe it creeps in a bit because you're down on the road at Wisconsin in a crazed environment and you press. And you've seen him, not last weekend, that interception was just a bad ball, is what Riley said. But you've seen him get a little bit happy in a wrong way, a little happy in the pocket there with some tough decisions that resulted in interceptions against Indiana and against Illinois. Well, those defenses have their high points, okay? But it's nothing compared to what Wisconsin has. What you have going for you right now, if you're Nebraska, is Jack Sitchie, seven tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, 60 tackles. Just a beast. Is out. Pectoral muscle. He's done. Vince Beagle is back. That's not good news. TJ Watt has channeled his older brother. He is good. And from a standpoint of that fear, what can turn the game? It's that Wisconsin defensive side of the football. And not only in obvious passing situations, but even if you're Nebraska and you get into more, all right, we're going to try throwing a little more to loosen him up on first down. If you're not getting the protection, a strip sack, a fumble, you put your defense on a short side of the field, or they score defensively, it's going to be rough. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to you. As it is Wisconsin Week, Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, hope you're doing all right on a Monday. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Don't forget to check out HailVarsity.com. A facelift on the website and premium content, as in message boards for you. Question out there, Kyron Williams needing a nickname. How about Badger Killer? Huh? The Badger Killer. Two more picks would work out well. Safe driving demands your full attention. One out of every three traffic fatalities in Nebraska, alcohol-related. Many of those drivers involved buzzed while driving. Remember, you drink, you drive, you lose. A message from the Nebraska Office of Highway Safety. Sean's been hanging on the line. Sean, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I just had a quick question for you. You may have touched on it earlier in the show, but talking about what the plan is moving forward with the offensive line, I went to the game on Saturday, and I noticed a couple of the freshmen, particularly like Bo Wilson, was not even suited up. So
they're not going to burn the red shirts at all at this point. That's from Langsdorf. So
I guess, do you think that guys like Decker or Christian Gaylord will be able to step up if need be, or are they going to keep going with, you know, like Cole Conrad and those guys?
That's the question, Sean. That's the question. I mean, in Conrad, I know he hasn't been perfect, but he's not been bad. I mean, he's come in and he's performed okay. And Neville has just been dinged. And when Neville's been in, it's not always been great. Okay. That's just a fact of life.
Yeah.
And then you have your questions at the center and guard spot. I mean, Utter has had some struggles at times, and you've also had guys like Hahn, who, bless his heart, is fighting through. I mean, that's supposed to be Foster's job, right? And he got hurt. So the question is, if you're not getting much production at left guard, do you hang with Hahn, who's been there for you, and hope he puts it together? And he still could, absolutely. Or do you go to Whitaker? Or can you look at a guy, and Decker is a guy that was up there at second team, kind of trying out for that first team spot at center this late in the year, and move Utter back over to guard. He's played there. I mean, there's some options there. And I'm not an offensive line coach, but I'm saying what is happening right now, and a lot of it is because of injury. What's happening now, the production isn't working, and you can't win with it in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and my question going forward then is, do you think against Wisconsin, you know, my concern with Tommy is, you know, he seems to lock on to or make that decision of where he's going with the ball before he even snaps,
right,
or gets, you know, the ball. And, you know, do you think that they're going to try and limit and maybe try to, I guess, use some short passing game and use that as a running game if it's not working? Do you think Tommy's capable of?
I think he's absolutely capable. If we're talking snap it and chuck it, Westy in the slot, Stanley, and some of those hitch routes, I mean, he's been on point this year with that, where it's been snap, throw. He's been fine. I mean,
yeah.
And it comes down to varying it up so you're not just with one guy and Wisconsin jumps the route. And it's 2012 yeah. Big 10 title game again.
Yeah, and I think, and the last thing I want to leave you guys with too is, I know there's concern over the offensive line, but I think, I think that Nebraska, I think the guys did a good job getting through, the Purdue's and Indiana and Illinois.
They beat everyone they were supposed to beat, Sean. I appreciate your call. We're up against a break. Give us a shout anytime. Room for you as we continue on next hour with Hail Varsity. Coach McBride next.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get big, big!
We get big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Boom, big, big!
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Great to have you back. Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, as Blackshirt Jay back Wednesday and Thursday of this week. It is that time, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, brought to you by Emeritus. And no one likes being distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus. Emeritus helps protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also providing employees with retirement, dental, vision, and hearing plans. And Emeritus been keeping promises for 130 years. They're proud to stand behind Nebraska and proud to bring you Charlie McBride. Visit emeritus.com. Coach, Wisconsin week is here. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I know a little bit about that whole place.
No, I know you do, my friend. Well, let's get into a thought or two first on the weekend that was with Purdue and what you took away from Nebraska and their win. It looked kind of hairy for a little while.
Well, I think anytime you got a team that is actually, if people look, they're number one, I think, in the Big Ten in passing. So, you know, you're not running into somebody that isn't very good. They're very good, and they've got some. You know, I think they've got some NFL players on their team, and I don't think there's any question about that. And I think they were in a little bit of a bind by losing a coach, and I think the players, you know, came to play, and then that was kind of what you would expect. you know, and maybe a little bit of a letdown because the players at Nebraska were kind of thinking, you know, maybe we just roll our hats on the field and do something like that. So they probably weren't really where they should be emotionally.
That's such a challenge, and you lived it
right.
So many years. You got to preach every game means something and is the same. You just can't show up and win, but you can say it until you're blue in the face, but it still is an issue, and that might have been part of the issue as well. And you're right, as far as David Blau, when he had time, really looked good. Now, I think he finished 5-19 in the second half throwing the football when Nebraska started heating him up, but for a time he got comfortable there. And some of their wideouts are talented. Coach, you're an offensive line coach. It's been a struggle, to put it nicely, and I know there's been injuries, for Nebraska to run the football. What can you do? What can you do?
Well, one of the things is that I just think that they don't look like they're a real tough bunch. You know, they're kind of pushers, and they're trying to screen people off instead of knocking them off the ball. And, you know, you just, the old saying, when said hand goes on the ground, those motors start running. And, you know, if they're not going to run, then, like I said, you come over and watch the game with me. I just think that, you know, they've got to get tougher. They got to get mean and nasty and, you know, and really go after people. You can't just hand the ball off and expect to get 2 or 3 yards in short yardage if you're not going to, you know, get your pads down and go. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of the things that I saw. I got really frustrated in the first half of the game, and I had to take a walk at halftime outside. My wife said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to go take a walk." You know, and you know, the thing you have to look at in this game, Wisconsin's played, I think they're going to end up with 4 or 5 of the top 10 teams in the country mm-hmm. that they're going to play, and this might be the fourth or fifth one. The fifth one, I don't remember the exact thing, but they've had some very, very good experience. And, I mean, they've played some really tough football teams, and their defense has really proven to be good. So this is going to call for added extra from the offensive line and both sides, I mean, but, you know, in particular. And I was a little concerned about, I know there's been injuries and guys have been out, and, you know, they've kind of been piecemeal and things for a while, but that doesn't change what you got in between your shoulder blades, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you got to start, you know, getting ornery and can't play this game and win consistently unless you're, you know, you have the right, you know, mental attitude.
Mr. Charlie McBride with us, Mondays with Charlie Hale, Varsity Radio. And we're talking Nebraska. It's Wisconsin week. The Huskers come in 7-0, tied for 6th in the coaches poll and 7th in the other poll, Wisconsin 10th and 11th respectively. Coach, you just hit on something that's so, so important heading into Saturday, and that's Wisconsin's experience this season. They've won big games against LSU. They won at Michigan State. They held Sparty to 6 points, and Michigan State's been struggling. They only allowed 14 points to Michigan, who looks like maybe the best team next to Alabama, and then they could have beat Ohio State, and just couldn't get it done. And then they went to Iowa right after that emotionally draining loss to Ohio State and beat a rival and just allowed 3 field goals.
Right.
This defense is incredible. What wows you about the Wisconsin defense? What do you like about it?
Well, they're disciplined, and they're a bunch of tough guys that play well together.
Okay.
And they don't make mental mistakes. And, you know, they're a team that has been pretty consistent back there over the years, really, defensively. If you go back, you know, they've had a pretty good defense, even through the other coaches. I mean, I think a lot of times coaches get fired because of the offense a lot of times, and you know, but defensively they have some kids with good temperaments. I always kind of looked at, you know, the fan base and everything when you look at them, knowing what I know, is the fan base is similar to Nebraska's. The people are great people, and they really love their football. And I think, you know, even though they have the Packers up there, they have enough people in the area and close by to support the team and fill it up. I don't. They've had so many. They're right not far behind a lot of schools and sellouts, and they've done that. So, you know, they have a lot to live up to, and they're tough to beat. I will say this. Of all the Big Ten schools, if you go back and look, Wisconsin's been the toughest team on Ohio State
yes.
in the whole conference, always. I mean, even when they're supposed to lose at Ohio State, they've won in the past, you know. And so for some reason, that's been maybe their big, you know, big rival of the year. And when we were there, I remember the one game we played before my last year as offensive line coach. they beat us at Columbus 57-7. We started out ahead 7-0.
Well,
then we got them mad, right?
Yeah, right.
Well, the next year I had a chance to try to get even because, of course, my family was close to Woody Hayes and at the time, and I was the coordinator on defense, and they kicked the field goal with 27 seconds left, I think it was, to win 10-7. So, you know, there was a, you know, we were at Madison. So, you know, it just seems to change, you know, and how you play away from home is big. But here's the thing that can happen. You know, we haven't really just tore the world up playing away from home. And that's kind of what I'm looking for, is some kind of a breakout thing that they're going to get a lot of enthusiasm there. They're not going to be playing like they're playing in a place that's, you know, like a high school stadium or something.
Right.
You know, they're going to, and it'll be exciting for them. I mean, it'll add to the, you know, to the playing ability of our players. So that's a good thing.
The environment's so well known in Madison, and you're right, with the Nebraska players, you can feed off of it as a road team just as well as being the home team. Coach, how do you think Wisconsin, what do you think they'll do defensively against Nebraska's offense? If you were to throw out a theory or two game plan wise, what do you think they'll try and do against Nebraska?
Well, I think the one thing is they're going to have to contain on the edges. And so they're probably trying to, you know, with some of the things that, you know, Armstrong can do, they're going to have to kind of build their defense around, you know, what he can do to keep him, you know, he's the X factor in games. And so they have to, in that case, they have to eliminate that part. And, of course, I think they realize the class of the running backs that we have. I think they understand that they're, you know, there's some good running backs there, and as they have one that is particularly good. But, you know, it's when you're playing against somebody, you're really concerned about what people can do, you know, after they get hit once. A lot of times people can really move the ball, and some guys just fall down, and some guys get another 5 yards or so.
Right.
So, you know, so and that's one thing. But like I said, I think the whole thing is going to depend primarily on the offensive line. I think they see things in the secondary. I know they throw a lot of crossing routes and do a lot of things. When they feel like, I think they, you know, anytime you spread out and go to no backs or, you know, I think a lot of people call it ghost or something formation, and you just have the quarterback back. You know, you're thinning out your offensive line, and it may be that this team might need a little more pressure in their package this week, both sides of the ball, and being us and them both.
Okay.
And but most of their pressure, I would think, is going to come off the edge, and that's kind of the way it kind of has been, and that I can see. But, you know, you never know. And I think they're not going to change a lot. Okay. I don't think they want to do that. They're playing pretty good football now with what they're doing. So I don't think that Nebraska is going to go into a game and expect a whole lot of changes.
What about Nebraska, Coach, when you look at them on offense? Is this a situation where Nebraska is going to have to throw it to maybe open up the run or some short hitch passes? Obviously, the quarterback run game is going to be huge for Tommy to get there. He's been so big in that aspect. But are they going to have to throw it more to loosen it up?
Yeah, I think that's correct. I think, you know, they may come up with a, you know, I know they have a couple of screens that, you know, you haven't seen a lot of, but they can throw stuff like that. And I won't go over the board on what they are, but I think they're a good screen. Nebraska's a good screen team. And I, you know, Wisconsin's not a big screen team, but they'll throw the, you know, the quick passes outside, mm-hmm. and hopefully their blockers get there. A lot of times they'll have their tackle release out, and you know, not always depend on the defense, on the wide receivers to block. And so a lot of that will, you know, can happen on their quick stuff. And so a lot of people call that, you know, what you're saying right now is they're probably going to run, throw to set up the run, mm-hmm. and, rather than run to set up the throw. And that may be the case. In the secondary, if you're going to say one part of it, I'd say the area behind the backers. And again, if you can get that open, then you're going to get the short crossing routes, you know, in front of them. But you're not going to be looking at big time plays. But you're going to be looking at things that, you know, if you're getting a lot of blitzing, mm-hmm. If the receivers are reading it right, they'll be in behind those backers and be able to dump the ball in there. You know, I mean, so the blitzing can hurt you. You know, and I always said this: we were a pressure defense, and you live by the sword and you die by the sword. So you know,
you just got to pop them with it if they're going to bring it. I tell you what.
So and you know, they'll change up their package on their blitz package, and what you have to watch out. A little bit for them, I think, is that they'll come with a blitz package in the first half, and you'll go in and adjust to it, and they'll go to a different blitz package in the second half.
Yeah, that'll be fun pulling your hair out, right? I
mean, yeah, I've done that before.
Charlie McBride with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Coach, we'll all be watching Saturday night. Enjoy your week, and we'll get caught up a week from today, hopefully talking about a win.
I hope so too. This would really be a big timer if you know, we can go to Madison and win. I mean, it would really set our a lot of people talking about it. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll kind of shut up.
No, that's about right, Coach. You take care. Thanks
okay.
again.
Okay, thanks, guys. Uh-huh. Okay, see you next week.
All right, there he is, Mr. Blackshirt. Yeah, a lot of people talking may shut up. You go win in Madison. That's, you can't dispute that. A lot of things you can question and ask and talk about, but LSU's for real. Michigan State doesn't look so hot. Michigan is nuts. They're that good, even with the new shades, the incognito look Harbaugh's going with. And then at Ohio, or the win, near win against Ohio State. Ohio State lost at Penn State, and it's like, well, here's how Ohio State can still get back to the playoff. It's like they didn't lose. Then there's Wisconsin, dubbed the best two-loss team in America. But we'll get into some more Nebraska-Wisconsin talk. You can join us, 466-3776, here on Hail Varsity.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks to Charlie McBride. You miss any part of Coach McBride, can log on hailvarsity.com. Get that premium subscription. Get the podcast. Go to iTunes as well. Get to Sauter Heyman. See Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman, 1 carat diamonds, available now. Select 1 carat diamonds. And the best part of this, not only is it a whole carat, but it's affordable, $100 a month. And don't shortchange your sweetheart. You can see stores for details, and it's a limited-time offer with approved credit. So log on, SauterHeyman.com, or get on down to see Rick 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Now, what's been a constant about Wisconsin, not just this year, but historically speaking, has been their defense, has been the limited number of big plays they've given up. They had three or four starters to replace in the secondary last year, and so far it doesn't matter. In both losses, you have an overtime score, but really 23 one through four quarter points allowed to Ohio State, and that was all Braxton. Man, I do that all the time. I'm sorry. It's Barrett. But Braxton and Barrett, they're the same style, okay? So forgive me. That's another fine, TJ's like in the swear jar there, the mental swear jar. We're just going to put it in there. But Barrett did a great job under pressure, making plays with his feet, throwing the football. They went downfield, and they stung Wisconsin a couple of times. Michigan missed three field goals. The run game was decent but not overwhelming. And Wisconsin scored because they had an interception and a short field was set up, okay? So there's your formula. You got to hit a couple of big plays and then capitalize once you're there. And that's what this thing's going to come down to. Let's get into this and discuss a little bit here about that R word that you've heard Saturday and again today with Coach Riley. That's rhythm. Getting in rhythm for Nebraska. Well, call me crazy, and Coach McBride just said if you go ghost or empty in the backfield and you try and spread this defense out, then you're inviting bigger and better problems for your offensive line. And he knows a whole world about how to screw with somebody's quarterback and offensive rhythm. So, but what's worked for Nebraska has been that three wide receiver look or a slot in the shotgun with Newby. And we'll see if Nebraska gets after it that way. First play of the game after Purdue made the brilliant decision to go halfback pass. 22-yard touchdown run, high five, it's time to go shotgun a beer. It looked like it was going to be that type of day. And you had the run game out of that formation. You had a couple of wide, shotgun. Tommy hit the edge. That's been the one constant, injuries or not, for Nebraska when they've run the football. They've ran out of the shotgun and run it well. They didn't do a lot of it on Saturday. Langsdorf had a bunch of different formations. You even saw a formation where he had Newby and Wilbon in the game, kind of a flanking shotgun formation. Not to bore you with formations, but there's things Langsdorf can do to get him in rhythm. But Nebraska's been at their best running out of the shotgun. It's been tough more times than not running out of your traditional pro set. Even if they've gone ace, even if they had double tight and went heavy, Nebraska didn't do what they wanted to do against Purdue out of that big look. They just haven't been able to sustain or get the blocks. And we'll see if they can do it. But how does Nebraska get in rhythm? I think it's kind of going to that comfort zone, that three-wide shotgun quarterback and running back run game. Now, the thing is who defends the zone read? Wisconsin defends the zone read. I mean, you had Barrett. He's so good and such a good thrower that he even took his shots and made plays with his legs because he won that game for him, and he couldn't pull it out a second time when he got zero help against a really good front. So that's where I'm kind of torn here. What type of success will Nebraska have offensively against this Wisconsin D that Ohio State beat, but then Ohio State went in a shell against Penn State? You know, that's a couple of thoughts. But here, how does Nebraska get in rhythm offensively? 466-377-6800. 825-5865. Chris been hanging on the line. Chris, thanks for your time. Go ahead.
Hey, Schmitty. I'm just going to give you my thoughts on Wisconsin. I think offensively, Nebraska and Wisconsin are a wash. I'd say we're pretty much even. Mm-hmm. Where they get us is, I think Wisconsin's defense is dramatically better than Nebraska's. I think they do a better job of getting pressure on the quarterback, only bringing four guys, where Nebraska's got to bring an extra guy or two to pressure the quarterback. I that's kind of the way I see it. I see Wisconsin beating us by 13.
Okay. So, I think you're right about when you look at the each team's best unit and going head-to-head. I think you're absolutely right about Wisconsin and what they've done when it comes to getting pressure. It's a 3-4 look, so where's that fourth rusher coming from? I get a bunch of crazed, foaming-at-the-mouth linebackers named Watt or Vince, right, to come after you. And those cats, man, they are fast, they're aggressive, and they don't miss tackles. They don't. They don't miss tackles against Ohio State. They don't miss tackles against LSU. They didn't miss many tackles against Michigan. I mean, look at the score. And that'll be key. Thanks for the phone call, Chris. Appreciate your time. 466-377-6800-825-5865. Okay. Nebraska gets in rhythm, obviously, with the run game, running your quarterback. Once he gets in rhythm running, he gets in a more comfortable level throwing. And here's what I'll say about that. You have Nebraska with a lot of choices and a lot of guys that can go make plays. And I'm all about getting Westerkamp. I'm all about getting Stanley. I'm all about getting Riley. How about Alonzo Moore over the top? I mean, Nebraska, you got to give Wisconsin its due for their front seven. No fun to play. But their back four are good. They're talented. But they can be picked on. And you gotta gash them a couple of times. And I like Nebraska's chances of making some one-on-one plays. You're not gonna live off of it, but you gotta take a shot at it and make it happen when you do take that shot.
Here's a theory for you.
All right.
Would you agree that Tommy Armstrong is at his best when the play kind of breaks down?
Yes.
With a hobbled line, would it be too much?
Tommy's going to be at his best a lot Saturday.
is it just with when it's an avalanche and the line's just kind of a mess and they're just coming through, is that going to be too much?
Here is where I think Wisconsin differs from name about anybody, be it Miami, be it Northwestern, and be it Indiana, okay? And where else did Tommy run for his life? A lot, okay? Some of the better teams they've faced. Against Michigan State. I mean, Nebraska didn't allow a sack, but you know how good that Spartan defense was a year ago. He had to maneuver with his feet.
Miami last year.
Miami for sure last year, okay? Absolutely. Those guys, a lot of them, weren't disciplined enough to stay with their guy once the play broke down. Hence, you had someone get beat, and Tommy was great enough to escape and make the play.
Yeah, or they came up for the run.
Right,
yeah.
And he was on the same page with his wide out and where he was going. And I think a lot of it, too, specifically, look at Stanley's catch against Indiana. They had people in the area, but they all ran into each other. I mean, that's kind of that epitomizes what happens on those. They don't physically run into each other, but you lose your responsibility, and that's where it goes sideways when trying to defend him. Wisconsin does not fall short. They are the one team that I'd put money down that when it comes to improvisational plays and defending them, your best bet if you're Tommy's to not force it, because there'll be some dude he doesn't see just kind of sneaky floating back there, and boom, there's an interception. I just got done saying that you can maybe go after the Wisconsin secondary a little bit. That's maybe off of play action, okay? But when it comes to the linebackers and that mid-range coverage, I think that's a baited interception waiting to happen. So I think from an improv standpoint, have a safety valve, i.e. newbie, or tuck and run. I mean, get yards that way scrambling. Move the sticks that way scrambling. And it comes down to his own discipline of weighing the let's try for the home run versus getting a base hit. And in this game against this defense, you've gotta be mature and patient enough to, if they give you a base hit, i.e. a scramble, and you can tuck and run and get outside, and once you do escape, you gotta take that. Occasionally, yeah, take a shot. Throw it up for Stanley. Hit Zoe. Or find Jordan. Yeah, I mean, you are who you are. But when you gamble against this team, it seems like you always pay for it, and the house always wins against Wisconsin. I mean, don't you see one of their little linebackers? May have a mohawk or a mullet mohawk.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Vince Beagle just picking off a football because you're trying to make something happen. Well, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And they raise hell with you. You get panicked. You force something. And then not only do they knock you into the sideline, they intercept it.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Well, and I feel like if you don't have any semblance of a running game like you did for most of Purdue, and he's running for his life like the first half of Miami last year, then that's when it's going to be a problem.
Quarterback draw every play, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, that's why it's so, so important here. And from a rhythm standpoint, I think you can beat them. I think you can beat them on some blitz plays. If they're going to be bringing somebody and you study hard enough and you do your job on the O-line and you give him a second to find DeMornay Pearson-L on a slant, you can pop them for some big plays if you can get right into the perfect play call. And Nebraska had, I mean, that was kind of the game changer there, right? When they hit DeMornay Pearson-L on a slant, they brought some heat, didn't matter. DeMornay got a perfect throw. Tommy can do that. Now, it's a different defense he's going up against. Well, how does Nebraska get in rhythm? And do you agree it's going to be more of a short passing game to pick up some of those yards on first down? We're pretty heavy into Wisconsin week. We'll talk some NFL here shortly. We continue on Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text Hail to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at Schmidt_radio at JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Jay Bird will be back on Wednesday. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. It's Wisconsin week. Hallelujah. Golfing. It's still been just awesome weather. Didn't get out to golf yesterday, but should have. You should check out Wilderness Ridge. Membership benefits, membership pricing, and your friends there to help that swing look a little bit better. Chris Thompson, director of golf PGA, and then our old buddy Mike Schuhart, director of instruction. Get a tee time booked up. You got a night game. It's going to be nice Saturday. Get to 9 or 18 in Saturday morning. And think about that membership with Wilderness Ridge, wildernessridgegolf.com, 402-434-5106. All right, TJ, you've talked me into this. John is on the line. John, go ahead. How are we doing?
Pretty good. I've been, you know, reading all the newspaper articles and listening to all the sports shows, and then I happened to turn on the Big Ten Network today.
Okay. What are they saying? What are
they saying? Of the week. And I guess my question is, I want to be positive and I want to be hopeful, but everything that they're saying is basically that Nebraska had a very easy schedule and they've not been tested yet, and that we're not the team that everybody thinks we are.
That is kind of the narrative from the Big Ten Network, and we have a number of their guys on. Coach DiNardo's with us Wednesdays, and Rick Pizzo's with us Tuesdays, and Pizzo's been pretty complimentary in Nebraska. He's picked them to win. Coach DiNardo has no agenda against Nebraska. He's just going off of 25 years of coaching Division I football when it comes to what he thinks. And how do you feel, John? Do you think it's going to be a win for Nebraska Saturday? Are you feeling good about it?
I'm feeling good about it because of the gut feeling, because of the chemistry with the coach and the chemistry with the players and the coach and the fans. You know, I think Nebraska's going to win, but it's not something that you can put down on paper. It's something when you get down to those big games, look what happened to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to come down to who wants to win the game, and I think the players on the team with Riley will come through. It may not be Purdy,
sure,
but I think we'll win the game.
John, thanks for the call. And his point about chemistry and his point about feeling with Riley. I mean, Riley's been a lot of big ball games, been in a lot of tight games, and there's that no panic aura of calmness that I agree with. Well done, TJ.
Hey, man.
You said, hey, let's put John on today.
Can't be afraid to let the guy speak his mind once in a while.
No, I understand that. More to the point of Riley here, he had something really, really important today in the press conference just about how Nebraska's been playing their games, and it could serve them well. Again, Saturday night, environment-wise, with who they're taking on.
As you know, for us, all the games have been hard and competitive, and we haven't won them till the fourth quarter of the games. And maybe that's good preparation for this game. It's going to take a really, really great. It's going to be one of those competitive games, really hard games. It's probably the best football team that we have played so far this year.
The thing that you don't know is how large a gap is that jump in competition talent level, because Nebraska's been in some tight games. They've put the smack down in the fourth quarter. They've beaten Oregon. I'll say Northwestern's a good football team. Indiana is teetering right now. But at the time Nebraska played them, they were okay. And then there's Wisconsin. And how all world is their defense? And how does it match up against Nebraska's skill guys? Because the skill guys took over. Coach Dubb's room took over Saturday. Now, the run game, how do you go about it and do it successfully so you're not one-dimensional? NFL going on tonight. You'll hear Monday Night Football on many of our Hail Varsity Radio affiliates, the Broncos, the Texans. I'll check into that. Listen, I fell asleep last night after the blocked field goal. The blocked field goal where you hurdle a guy, you stub your toe, which I thought was kind of cool. And I'm sad. Russell Wilson had the best idea I've heard about the NFL in the NFL for a long time. And that is just, it's kind of like soccer with the shootout. You just keep kicking field goals until someone, you know, misses.
Which would have been great last night. See those guys keep going.
Best out of five. Hey, we know you're mentally a mess and your wife's packing up the U-Haul because you're a kicker, and if you don't continually hit pressure kicks, we're going to fire you. Go find the JUCO soccer coach and ask him for a tryout.
I just don't like ties, man.
Well,
ties
no.
Just feels so like before 1950. Like,
and if
come
you're
on,
the and if you're
out.
The NFL, put it on the 30. Maybe the 225 is too close, but put it on the 30 for the overtime.
Something.
Go overtime rules like college.
Yeah, which have the best overtime rules. Just, yeah, if the college starts at 25, start the pros at the 50. Double it up.
No, just give me something a little sooner, a little 30-ish.
All right.
You know, because if, you know, you're so conservative in the NFL because everyone's about at the same eye level. Okay, takeaways. One, the Chiefs and what they did against, and I knew New Orleans isn't great, but New Orleans puts up yards and points on everybody, and for Kansas City to hold the Saints to 21 is impressive. High five for Andrew Luck beating the hapless Titans. That's impressive. The Vikings. Wow. Sam Bradford sacked 6 times. That was a turnover fest. That was a bad football game. And the Eagles won. Detroit, Stafford. I had the shovel in hand. Nice 40 touchdown season a few years ago, but he's been pretty good. I think the Eagles are pretty decent too. I think their defense is nuts. They got to go to Dallas next week.
The whole NFC East is a lot better than I thought it'd be.
Yeah, because going into this thing, I'm raising both hands. Wake me up with whoever pillow fights their way out of the NFC East. It's been pretty good.
Mm.
How about our Dolphins?
How about them? I pretty much had written them off.
Oh, I don't watch them intentionally because I'm looking for Snowflake and Marino. I just, Ajay, man, I said this
Jay
to Brunsy. Said this to Brunsy. It's like I just picked him up to be kind of a jerk in fantasy so no one else could have him. I should have started him. But how about the fish, man? There's a little life there. They made a little switch on offense. I'll take it. I mean, they may drive Rex back to eating M&Ms. That's not good for anybody.
No.
Tampa did what they need to do to the Niners, and we're going around the league here. The Jets beat the Ravens. The Ravens have fallen on hard times. And this epitomizes the NFL. The San Diego Superchargers. Heartbreak kids, right? They go into Atlanta and win in overtime. They were down 17. They've blown leads four times this year. Joey Bosa's a bad man. They're just good. Phillip's 108 years old and doesn't care. He just slings it. The Patriots. You know what? Landry Jones. I thought he was selling insurance or something. He looked okay. I know he didn't win, but he was not a... He was a manager. He's not Big Ben. But he's looked a lot worse in his career. And against that team and that defense and those conditions, Landry was all right. I think Le'Veon's still in the ice tub. And, yeah, Gronk after the game. Did you hear that?
I did.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Hope you're okay. Thanks for a few minutes today on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine. Log on hailvarsity.com. Check out the new site. Your chance to be a premium subscriber. We encourage you to do that. A lot of fun to interact. Great Husker community for you to be a part of. TJ Henning, Chris Schmidt. Then there is this. There is a petition to have Harry Doyle, Bob Uecker, replace Joe Buck, broadcasting the series on TV. A few crazy fans who don't like Joe Buck, 12,000 have signed this petition calling for Harry Doyle, wanting him to say, personally, I think we got hosed on that call.
Should be Vin Scully, but that's whatever.
Yeah. That would have been good. We're going to talk to Pizzo tomorrow. He's a huge Cubs fan. He's thrown the first pitch out at Wrigley. Okay? And you and I know so many folks that are just... I think they're so excited that they got to the series that they can smile about that. I think they're preparing themselves for the other shoe to drop and not winning this series. It's one thing to get there. It's too much to ask to win it. I think Cleveland fan right now is kind of like, let's just get this thing rolling.
Oh, for sure.
Our momentum's not meant to be put in the fridge. Tomorrow on the show, Rick Pizzo, Mitch Sherman, Barry Alvarez going to join us as, what's the trophy they do for Nebraska, Iowa, or Nebraska, Wisconsin again? They did something, right? They came up with some sort of thing. And we were trying to talk.
It's nothing like the broken bits of the chair. That's with us in Minnesota, right? Fake bow created.
What I wanted was a red bar stool. We were talking to Barry about that the last couple of years, and it got shut down. But don't you think the red bar stool would have been perfect? I'm sure there's something cool they're doing now because smarter minds than mine have come up with what to do. I don't know. TJ's efforting and researching. You got Denver or the Texans tonight?
Oh, Denver.
Yeah? By a lot or little?
Maybe just a little bit. Maybe Brock shows a little something heading back there, but nah.
Here's the other question I have for you. What is the line going to be by tomorrow morning, Nebraska, Wisconsin?
Were there early reports it was around like 7? 7.5?
Oh, no. It is now up to -9. Yeah, and it started at 6.5.
And it's looking like the Freedom Trophy.
Thank you.
Play for.
So, like I said, much better idea than
Hero
mine.
Trophies, Nebraska, Iowa. That's right.
Right. So, okay. Nebraska, Wisconsin week continues. We'll be here for you tomorrow at 4. Getting you ready for a top 10 showdown. I'm still going to call Wisconsin top 10. There's no way they should be 11th or 10th. No way at all.
Yeah, that's fair.
You have Nebraska 7th and tied for 6th. All of the road teams that are ranked high have stiff, stiff tests this weekend. Judgment weekend. All right. Find us at 4 tomorrow. Barry Alvarez tomorrow with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Thanks for listening.